on News Radio 1350 KMAN.
Good Thursday morning. We're doing our daily sort of hand gestures at each other.
We have signals.
Yes, we do.
We have signals when you're supposed to start talking.
And I'm talking.
They vary.
Yeah. I just like to have fun with it nowadays. I like to
hand it off, and sometimes in a graceful and sometimes humorous light.
It's very graceful, Dave.
Sometimes.
Very graceful.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for tuning in. You're listening to In Focus here on News Radio KMAN. Coming up in half an hour, we will have people from the Sunset Zoo in Manhattan. Marketing and Development Officer Rachel Harrod will be in the studio. But first, for the first half hour, Trisha Versage. Just want to make sure I got this correct. Trisha Versage, right?
Yes.
All right. And you are a ghostist with the Historical and Archaeological Society of Fort Riley. And how are you doing? Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. And we're going to be talking a lot of Halloween-themed topics, you know. Mm-hmm. As a ghostess, it's pretty topical. And Halloween's just under a week away now. I had to think it through. Yesterday was a week from it. So first of all, before we get into anything serious, let's call it serious, what's your favorite part of Halloween?
Well, I'm the mom of four kids, but they're all grown up now, so it's still getting to interact with the little ones when they come around. But I like to just kind of read the ghost stories, and I'm not into the weird horror stories, but I like the old, like Dracula and Frankenstein. So
the classics.
The classics.
Classic Halloween stories.
Yes, and give me a good Edgar Allan Poe, and I'm a happy girl.
All right, sounds good. Never more on that one.
That's right.
But so the Historical and Archaeological Society, should I acronymize it as HASFER? Does that work? All right, HASFER is the 22nd annual ghost tours. It's coming up Saturday and Sunday. This Saturday and Sunday. So that's 22 years. That's quite a while.
It is.
Are you familiar with how it got started?
Well, it basically got started because we were getting a lot of people that were sharing the stories that were coming out of their own homes. Residents at Fort Riley and past residents of Fort Riley. And so they started putting together the stories so they could put together a book. And then it just led to, you know what, let's just do a tour. So this year we're doing two nights for the first time ever. And it will also be two separate tours. So Saturday night is Artillery Parade Field. Sunday night is Cavalry Parade Field area.
So it'll be the area. So you'll be going through a number of houses. And what exactly will people see on the tour?
Well, we'll be making stops outside of each of the homes and buildings because there will be some of our favorites, like Building 500 on Saturday night and Sunday night is like the Custer House, but we're just going to share not only the stories that are coming from past residents and current residents, but a little bit of the history of what was going on each side of the post, because Artillery Parade Field is around the Artillery School area, and Cavalry is the Cavalry School. So we try to put in a little bit of the history because we are a historical society, and a lot of the fun stories that go with it.
And so those are some of the differences that'll be going on between the different nights then, correct?
Yes.
All right. And what's sort of the schedule that we're looking at? What time should people show up? What time, and how will the route go?
On Saturday night, we will start at Artillery Parade Field, where we hold Apple Days every year. And the first tour takes off at 4 o'clock. There will be a tour every 20 minutes. Last tour is expected to leave about 7:20. And we will make sure that anyone that is standing in line goes in a tour. So even if the last tour is 100 people strong, we will be taking that many people around because we don't want to turn anyone away. Sunday night, it will start at Cavalry Parade Field over on Pleasanton, where we were at last year. And it starts at 4 o'clock, 20-minute tour. Every 20 minutes, will be another tour group, and the last one will go about 6:20.
Okay. And are there any costs associated with the program, or do you have to pay to go?
No, it is completely free. This is our way of giving back to the local communities that support the Historical and Archaeological Society through the year with attending Apple Days and purchasing our awesome apple pies, our historic chats that we offer out for everyone a couple times a year, and then our tour of homes that we have in December that has a cost associated to it. So this is our way of giving back. There is the opportunity to buy a fast pass for $5 a person. I believe children under the age of 10 are free. The fast pass basically gets you to the front of the line. So say you show up and there's 100 people standing in line, you pay the $5, you get to go on the next tour.
Okay. And I'm talking here with Tricia Versage from the Hasfer Society. We're talking about the ghost tour, and you're a ghostess. And I also want to say on air before we move on, I have to compliment the society on the term ghostess. That's just fantastic wordplay. That's just great.
I've been doing it for a long time, and I just kind of associate with it. But we try to make you feel like we're welcoming you into our home. So we want to be a hostess with the ghosts.
The hostess with the ghostess.
That's right.
Oh, man, the wordplay is just going this morning. So how long have you been associated with the ghost tours and the society in general?
I always attended the tours. I was stationed in Germany for 3 years, came back in 2007 and signed up as a tour guide and a storyteller, and did that until 2012 when I took over as the ghostess and took a 2-year break for health reasons, and then came back, and I've been doing it ever since.
Are there any qualifications to be a ghostess? I can't imagine there'd be like a ghost degree or anything along the lines of that, but what do you have to do to become a ghostess?
Volunteer. main thing, volunteer, but it's more or less just having an enthusiasm for putting together an event like this. Some planning capabilities help a lot, and sometimes it's like wrangling cats, which is fine, because you can't control the ghosts.
No, not at all.
Obtaining volunteers, that's probably the biggest hurdle.
Are there more than one ghostess, or are you the ghostess?
I have a partner.
Okay.
Shauna Luawi is my partner, and she's working today, so she could not join me.
Oh, well, thanks anyway. I appreciate you that you're here.
Yes, thank you.
Of course. And I guess it might be a good idea to talk about parking too.
Mm-hmm.
For people who want to come out, I know there's a little bit of a process sometimes to get on base. What are some things people need to know?
Well, if you're going to be coming on post and you don't have an ID card, you'll want to go a little early to stop at the access control point there on the airfield gate, which is also Henry Gate, exit 301. It takes about 15 to 20 minutes to obtain a pass if you have never obtained one in the past. Once you come on, there will be signs that will lead you to the different parade fields. We'll be changing them up on Saturday night so that Sunday we get you to the right place. And there is parking on Pershing, just off of Holbrook Avenue. You'll turn at the four-way stop at Pershing, and there is parking there at the parade field and behind the buildings.
All right. I think it might be a good time for our first break of the morning. When we get back, we have some ghost stories for you all.
Yes.
So stay tuned here on more on InFocus on News Radio KMAN.